There you go.
This is MSO, newsports.com. Bill Newell along with Rick Moore. We're at Beverly High School for our winter sports preview for Beverly High School Athletics. We're joined by Athletic Director James Coffey. James, good to see you tonight.
Good to see you. Thanks for coming down here today, guys.
All right, so our job here tonight is to talk to as many different Beverly athletes and coaches as possible. Now, we know logistically that we're not going to get everybody, but we'll get a few here. Obviously, we're not going to get every athlete because I'm looking out here in the field house here, and there's like 150 kids here.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well,
put this up a little closer if you don't mind there. Thank you.
James, just how about a quick little recap of the fall sports for Beverly? You guys had, like usual, another very successful fall.
Yeah, I think that's mostly capped by the boys' soccer team, who had their best season in the last 15 years, won their first conference championship in well over 10 years, and made a great run in the state tournament, falling to Masconomet, 1-0 in overtime at Manning Field in the North semifinal, and Masco, I believe, went on to the state championship. So we were right there, and a game away from that state title game, and it was just an unbelievable run for the boys, and I was so happy for them. They're such a good group of kids, and Coach Leahy's worked really hard with them. We had a great fall. Everybody was competitive again, and that's all you can ask for. Field hockey played tough, and football finished 8-3, and that's a heck of a year. There's only been three Beverly football teams that have had more than 7 wins in the last 25 years. Well, now, if you think about that, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, wow, I didn't know that.
You know, we had the undefeated year a couple years back, and then Pat Bailey senior year in 2006, they went 9-1. But even the other Super Bowl year, we were 7-6, and we had a lot of 7-win seasons. But to go 8-3 in high school football is really tough. So that was a great year for them, and it was good. Girls soccer had another competitive year and made the tournament. Dave Jellison, cross country. We had a girl, Julia Curtin, who you'll probably hear from today, is finished second in the All States, and the girls cross country team, finished fifth overall in the state. And just year in and year out, Coach Jellison gets it done, and these girls are so impressive. So we had a great year. It was a great fall, and we're excited about the winter.
I'm looking now. What is this, the third day of winter sports or whatever?
Yeah.
Tell us, you got to describe to our radio listeners what's going on here, because this is like orchestrated chaos. This is amazing.
It is, and it works so well. Basically, what we have here is we have both boys and girls track, so you're looking at least 150 track kids here right now. And on this end, we have our coaches are working with the hurdlers, and then on the other end, we got the shot put. Kids working down here, and then around the track we have our sprinters and distance runners getting their workout in. So we have track going here from 3 to 4:30, and while they're practicing on the track inside the basketball court, we have the two freshman boys and girls basketball teams getting their work in, and then this place will clear out for about 2 minutes and be really quiet, and then we'll have varsity and JV boys basketball come in. And then at 6:30, the girls' varsity will come in and have kind of the whole place to themselves. And then meanwhile, in our upper gym and weight room area, we have our wrestling room. So wrestling team's up there going as well.
So this schedule goes into some kind of super mainframe computer, and then it all spits it out. And how do you do this?
That's why you're here, James, right? No, seriously.
This is what we have to do, yeah. But this is over the course of the last 8 years of being here. We fine-tuned this thing to the way it is now. And it's good that we have veteran coaches that – they just know how to work together, and it works out really well.
This, and there's so much action here. This girl down here to my left with the crutches, she did not have crutches earlier this afternoon. She just,
two minutes ago.
You should talk to our trainer, Charlotte Baranis. Her office is right over there. She's the heart and soul of this building, so she keeps our kids in good shape and healthy.
And you know what else I'm impressed about? Here it is, 4:30 in the afternoon. You got a cup of coffee going. This is impressive, James.
One in the morning when I get up, and then one about 3 o'clock when the second day starts here.
Oh, that's cool.
What about numbers, James, both in the fall and now here in the winter? How many participants, or what's the percentage?
Strong, consistent with what we've had. About 400 in the fall, and probably have the similar in the winter here. Everything's been very consistent, and if anything, going up a little bit in some of the sports. The track numbers are up from last year, which we're really excited about. And we just, we push the kids to do three sports, and all of our coaches do that. There's obvious benefits in it. So
stable coaching ranks, people coming, going, or staying?
We have two new coaches this winter, actually, which is a little rare for us, but our gymnastics coach stepped down, Lauren Ginsberg, who, you know, won 142 straight meets, but she's really into CrossFit and she competes in that, so she wanted to dedicate more time to that. We hired her assistant, Julie Shimano, who's a teacher in the school system, so it's her first year with the gymnastics program, and she's going to do a great job. We're excited there. And then we had hired a girls' basketball coach a couple years ago, Allison Flynn, who is a former Salem High Hall of Famer, and she came in for 2 years and, you know, turned the program around. We made it to the Division I North semifinal last year, and you know, she was fortunate enough to get the head coaching job at Plymouth State, and she's up there now. So we were sad to lose her, but couldn't be more excited for her to take that program over. And so we hired Seth Stanchel, who's a Beverly graduate, and I think he was an 06 graduate basketball player here, and is a phys ed teacher here now, his third year teaching phys ed, and he also you know, coaches volleyball and is our spring track coach. So it was kind of a smooth transition, bring Seth right in, and so things are good. But other than that, very, very consistent in our coaching.
Mm-hmm. All right, so here we are at Beverly High School doing our Beverly Winter Sports Previews. This is a lot of work for you, James. I mean, getting all this stuff organized here, putting this down here. So we're going to talk wrestling. We're going to talk some track here and hopefully some basketball as well here. So you're our eyes out here. And we still have a few more minutes, I think, until the track is over at this point. Does that sound right?
Yeah, just a couple more minutes. They'll be wrapping up. They're starting to put some stuff away now, and then you'll see the basketball team start to make their way down from their you know, pre-practice meetings.
I just wanted to go back to football for a second here in the fall, since we have a moment. And that I look at the Northeastern Conference this year with Marblehead, with Danvers, and I know I'm blanking out on one team here, but with Beverly, there's four teams that I put into this group that all really almost could have beaten. There were four very good teams this year at the top of that division, and you know, in the essence, you had Danvers beating Marblehead in the playoffs, but then Marblehead beating them you know, the first time around. So it's a lot of balance there in that record that you talk about. Could have even been a little bit better, obviously, with those last second Beverly losses, two of them this year.
We went 8-3. We lost to Marblehead and Gloucester.
Right.
On the last play of the
Gloucester's
game.
Gloucester's the team I'm thinking
of. Danvers, you know, Danvers beat us, but that was a game, you know, could have went either way. It was a very competitive year.
The Gloucester drive at the end was one of the most amazing high school drives I've ever seen. But we congratulated from up in the press box your kids, the Beverly team, after the game. The sportsmanship they showed was incredible. And players were seeking each other out from Beverly to Gloucester to go talk to each other about the battle that they had.
That was a
really cool thing to see.
Yeah, it was. There was a lot of those moments this year for everyone, I think. And it was really good. It was a very good competitive year. And it makes it more fun when it's like that. It's more fun when it's a competitive year versus a team that you know is just going to run the table.
You know, I have a question about back to winter sports. You know, you start now, and it's this intensity, this build-up, and you get everybody in here, and you pick the teams, and you get rosters organized and so on. And then you play some games, and then, bang, you've got a Christmas break. You play a couple of games. You know, I'm thinking hockey and basketball in particular, but all the other sports too. Then you have a Christmas break, and you have tournaments in there. And then you get back into the regular schedule. Is there some kind of a break and a rhythm there for you as an athletic director or the teams, or is it just smooth sailing and you know you've got this stuff coming up and so you just approach it a little bit differently maybe?
I think it works very well. You know, the knowing it's coming is very helpful, and I think those vacations, you know, Christmas and February, actually work out really well for the coaches and the kids because it certainly spreads things out. You can come in the morning and practice. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think the kids are used to it and used to those changes in pace. It is a hard season to coach in the winter. You know, everything's at night. You know, you come to school in the dark, you go home in the dark and if you're an athlete. We use those breaks to our advantage and try to get, you know, spread out the practice time so it's not as chaotic and, you know, coaches can coach a little better and, you know, you play in some Christmas tournaments or whatever. So, yeah, we make it work.
What's the latest on a user fee? How's that working out? I mean, it's been around for a long time now in many cities and towns. So how's it going with Beverly?
I don't know if you heard, but Salem got rid of theirs, which I was impressed about. Yeah, Salem got rid of their user fee, which is great. It's a great step. I wish it was, you know, more publicized than it was. I think more schools should try to do that. You know, ours has stayed the same for about almost 5 years now. So it's working okay. Mm-hmm. It's working okay. And we do things budget-wise to, you know, really make sure we're trying to save on every corner without sacrificing any quality. And, you know, we do the best we can, but the user fees have stayed consistent, which is really good. And you are starting to see some schools that are backing off or lowering their user fees, and I think it's awesome.
This facility is pretty amazing, too.
It's great. Every once in a while I look around, or if you're in another school that doesn't have this, and you realize how fortunate you are, because other schools don't have this luxury of being able to have track and basketball at the same time. And it's a great place. It's a great place to watch a game. And I'm really lucky with this new facility. It's been great. So
I like, too, you were able, with the reconstruction here at the high school, keep this footprint, because I think now with some of the construction that schools do, they won't let them build
the square footage again.
Right.
Absolutely not, because the MSBA, unless you pay for it yourself, which cities won't, but the MSBA won't reimburse for square footage this big.
Right.
So it was such a smart move at the time to refurbish this area rather than to build new. We probably would have gotten a basketball court and maybe a lane or two. That would have been it. So it's been great, and we're really lucky.
All right. And we're still we're going to be checking with a few winter coaches here.
Yep.
when they're available here with us in just a few moments here on MSONewsSports.com. Phil Newell, Rick Moore here in Beverly this afternoon. And I'm just trying to think. There was something I was just going to ask you about, James. Winter. Are there any holiday tournaments at all being hosted by Beverly, or that the Beverly teams that you're aware of?
We're actually going to three of them, so we're not hosting any this year. We're heading to three. Boys basketball is going to... now you're going to put me on the spot. Boys basketball goes to a tournament. The girls go over to Masco, and then hockey goes up to the Gloucester, that ice hockey tournament they have every year. There is one that we're going to host. The girls ice hockey is going to host a four-team tournament in Endicott. Off the top of my head, I got to think of the names. I want to say St. Mary's is in it, us, Bill Ricca, and maybe one other. It's going to be a nice little tournament over at Endicott. But that's pretty much it. It should be fairly quiet in this field house for the breaks.
We're not going to do hockey tonight, but how's that going to work out now over at Endicott?
Yeah, it's our first week over there, but everything seems to be working really well. I have a meeting over there tomorrow with Jay Lilly, their rink manager, to discuss logistics on how we're going to run the games and stuff like that. But it's a beautiful rink. I don't know if you guys had a chance to see it.
I have seen it, yes.
Yeah, seats, I think just over 900, and locker rooms and showers, and it's really exciting. And people in the city are thrilled, because we haven't had a hockey game in this city in 20 years or whatever it is. So people are excited that Endicott built the rink, and they've been very welcoming to us and helping us out. And we're just excited to be there. I know Danvers is there as well. They're going to be playing their home games there, so it'll be good.
Do you have any particular start times for your games that you're aware of, or are they all over the place?
They're all a little bit different, but they're good hours. There's only a couple that are on the later side, 7, 8 o'clock, but, there's a lot in, 4, 6, 7.
Yeah.
They're all over the map, kind of. There's no exact time, but it's kind of like Salem State,
Yes,
there's, a two-hour block for three different games, and but they're all pretty good, so we're excited about that. Good hours, good ice time over there, good practice time, and so it should work out very well.
That's what I was going to ask you. What time are you guys getting practice time there?
All afternoons.
Yeah.
The boys go for one morning sheet and the girls go one morning sheet, but they've always done that, and they like doing it. So it's working out great. Terrific hours over there. And the girls used to have to go to Kasabuski or to Peabody or to, we were all over the place.
Yeah.
Boys would go to Pingree, girls used to go to Pingree as well. And so to have kind of one place now where they all can go is,
The girls a co-op program still?
Co-op, yep, with Danvers, and there's a couple girls from Ipswich. And we're in our second year of the co-op, so we'll have to renew that next year. But that's a team to watch this winter, I think. So.
Beverly girls co-op hockey?
Absolutely.
All right. So. All right, sounds great. Okay. And we hope to be back here for some games during the hoop season in this building here as we get our schedule together in the next few days.
You got Wi-Fi in here? Or Wi-Fi availability?
We do.
Well, I'm just... No.
You might be asking the wrong guy.
Okay, no, that's cool.
Yeah. No, we do. I just don't know how to get on it.
It'll make it easier for...
Password protected.
Well, absolutely.
Like Fort Knox with that
but,
Wi-Fi.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll get you set up, though.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
We can still try our hotspot, but it's always better if we can use the local, because we're guaranteed to get on that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We'll get you set up.
Any other league news, James, just to share with us? Anything from the Northeastern Conference
No, we had our league meeting today. Nothing out of the ordinary. Little discussion on football and the whole playoff system and likes and dislikes of, you know, when you're out of the playoffs, who's going to play who and things of that nature. But that was pretty much it, you know.
And that seems to be one of the big drawbacks. I do think, though, I don't know, Marty Smith from our website was at the Thanksgiving Day game in Salem. So we were at other games, Rick and myself. But the games we were at, it felt like Thanksgiving had a comeback this year. Maybe it was just because of the great weather and so on. But and I don't know how it was at in the Salem-Beverly game. Obviously, it was a lopsided game. But, you know, it seemed like some of the crowds were, you know, were decent on Thanksgiving. And it seems like in the past with this playoff system, Thanksgiving has taken a hit with a lower interest. Yeah,
it certainly has. But I think this year was a decent crowd for a lot of the games. I heard the Winter Revere game was huge.
Really?
For that game. And I know I don't know about Gloucester Dammers, but I had heard that was pretty good as well. But I think so. I mean, they just keep altering this playoff system, so I don't know where it's going. But you know, we'll see. I fought it hard for a few years, and now I'm at the point where, you know what, we're going to play as many conference teams as we can. We're always going to try to schedule. We played Gloucester, right, which was a non-league game to start the year, but we want to play as many conference teams as we can every year, regardless of the records, regardless how good they are. We just want good NEC competition, and then when we get to the playoffs, we'll see what happens. But that's pretty much where we're at with that, you know.
So. All right. Should we be tracking somebody down here any minute now, or what do you think, for coaches? Or
yeah, I can give me a second. I'll go out and get some coaches here for you.
So who do you think? Yeah, okay.
Sounds good.
All right, well, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, thanks, James.
Okay.
James Coffey, athletic director at Beverly High School, with us here on MSONewsSports.com. Don't forget to check out MSO's North Shore Today program every day. It goes up on the website a little after 8 o'clock in the morning, something along those lines.
We'll keep this rolling like it's a radio show for now?
I guess so.
Why not? This is amazing. This is
And one of the things is that we hope that you'll check out our – you can email us with any comments or thoughts at msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com, or follow us on Twitter as we retweet a number of different stories that we catch around the North Shore in both news and sports. And so here we are. And all of a sudden, this place has quieted down a little bit here.
It's clearing out, as the
track coaches are packing up, doing their things. And we hope to talk with Dave Jellison and Sean Dunleavy, the girls and boys track coaches, respectively, here at Beverly High School, as well as
we got somebody
Scott Lewis.
Returning now.
I think this is Sean here. Yeah, okay, great. Okay.
We're watching the traffic. Sean has to hold up as the railroad. It's funny. I'm watching this really tall girl, and she barely clears the hurdle, and these little kids is flying over the hurdle. So we got a bunch of. Bill, I should give my headsets away too. Just put that one on, please.
All right.
Got a captain.
Hey, Sean, how are you? Nice to meet
good.
You.
Good. How are you?
Hi, Bill Newell and Rick Moore here.
Hi,
and
Bill.
We also got Bob Brown. Bob.
Yeah.
No, Bob Brown here. Okay, we've got a player. No, go ahead. No,
we'll get you.
Coach, why don't you introduce who we have here? Because we're all doing this on the fly here.
Okay, sure. So we have my trusty assistant coach, Bob Brown.
Yep.
And then we have one of our star athletes. Whenever you hear Flaherty in the name, it's you know you get a good track athlete on your hands. So we get Kevin Flaherty here.
Kevin Flaherty. Now, Kevin, did you play football or not?
I did play football this year, yeah.
You did. Okay, I'm just... we split up our roles here, and I was not at a lot of Beverly games, so that's just...
We did the Midwestern Beverly games.
We'll let it go.
Thank you. Because if I didn't know if Flaherty played football, then that's shame on me. I get that. So, Kevin, what do you do? What are you doing for track this winter?
For track this year so far, I'm looking to run the 600 race, but might be interchangeable with the 300 and possibly the 400 relay as well.
Got some speed.
He's got a lot of speed.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He's going to help us out a lot. He helped us out, came a real far last season, and you know, he's going to be a key Kevin's going to be a key runner for us this year without a doubt.
And tell us about some other athletes that you have on the track team, and Kevin, you can chime in with a few names too. We'll let the coach do. Well, Sean, maybe you could share a few with us here.
Sure. Well, in the throws, we have two of our guys. It's a lot of football guys, a lot of soccer guys, and a lot of cross-country guys. So that helps. That's a good recipe for a good track team.
Yeah.
We've got Jake Berry and Chris Faust. They're going to be in the throwing events for us with Harry Gallagher. And then in the middle distance, we're going to have Christian Goodwin, terrific soccer player.
Yeah. Yep. See, and I knew that, Kevin.
Yep. You know. And then we'll have one of our cross-country guys, Brian McPherson. Both of those two were state qualifiers last year in the 1,000. And then in the sprints, we have Jordy Rodding. Once again, a really integral part of the football team.
Football, yeah.
Yep. Yep. And
we got some guys like Jake Bencourt coming back. Johnny Jones.
Yep, Johnny Jones. He's going to help us out in the sprints as well. And I think there's going to be a lot of surprises this year because we have quite a few soccer guys out for the track team this year. Quite a number of them. Seems like half the soccer team is out for track this season.
Yeah. Kevin, what do you do in the spring? Track?
Lacrosse.
Lacrosse. Okay, oh, yeah. There you go. Okay.
Yeah, we get a bunch of our lacrosse team and football team to stay in shape by doing other sports like track. So we try and get as many guys we can for this.
So you got like an all-star collection of people here.
That's what we hope for. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's exactly what you look for an indoor program. And the benefit is for these guys too, is that you know they are other sports, lacrosse and football and soccer, and this is one of the best sports to do to keep you in shape for those other sports.
How important is numbers? Because I know PBD always with track, indoor track, spring track, they've got like 10,000 people. So how important are numbers and participation for everybody? You got the guys who are going to qualify. You got the guys who are 1, 2, and 3. But how important is to have so many other kids involved? And how do you keep them involved with such a big contingent?
Numbers are definitely critical with this sport. I mean, you never know with somebody going down to injury. You know, depth is really important. Yeah, and that's what PBD has, is PBD has these huge numbers, and, you know, it's almost like the Patriots. You know, if someone goes down, someone's coming in to fill in their shoes that's going to be a quality performer. It's good with the numbers. I mean, it is a battle for the varsity spots. Only three compete in a varsity, but, you know, when you get that competition of all the kids within your team pushing for those spots, it creates, I think, a good atmosphere. I think the kids collaborate. They work together. There's no animosity.
One thing that's different about track, I think, is that, and I don't know how it was in football, but in track it seems like the upperclassmen tend to help the underclassmen out a little bit more than maybe in other sports. Is that true, Kevin?
I would say so, definitely, because the seniors and juniors, like, we've all been here before working hard, so I think as the freshmen and sophomores coming up, they get to see us, like, falling. They get to follow our footsteps and see how we work hard and definitely motivates them.
Do you also understand the legacy of Beverly Track or Beverly Sports, and so that now that – are you a senior this year?
Junior.
You're a junior. Okay, so you're headed that way. Yeah. So now you see the seniors, and you see something that goes on year after year after year, tradition. Mm-hmm. And then as you become a senior, you know you're leaving, okay, or your seniors are leaving. Now next year it's your turn. But then you got these other kids. You want to keep this going. I mean, you got college kids. I know some of the Flaherty who's somewhere. But they look back in college and they look back at you guys. So it's important for you to work with the younger kids.
Yeah.
Isn't it? I mean.
No, it definitely is. I'd say the most important thing is winning this season. But after that,
making sure
next year is also like set. So it's you build friendships and like the kids on your team become good friends. So as you graduate, you know, you want to look back and see and make sure that the kids you ran with are still doing well.
What's your workload this year in academics?
Academics? Oh, one AP course and all honors.
Excellent. What's the AP course?
Physics.
Physics? Okay. I'm a math teacher, so, you know, hi. Excellent.
It's another great part about, on the track team. You have a lot of kids that not only work hard here, but they carry that over into the classroom, too, which is really important. So you get kids who just naturally work hard. It's a great sport. It attracts great kids who want to be here, kids who want to work hard in the classroom and on the field. And then Kevin's a perfect example of, you know, being that freshman who, when he came on, you know, he had, you know, he wasn't running in the varsity but was working hard. And the juniors and seniors that were ahead of him, you know, pushed him and motivated him and took him under his wing. And now he's one of our varsity guys.
How do you deal with the kids who are there to be in shape, to get in shape? I mean, I'm sure you've got a lot of underclassmen who are just there for other sports maybe.
Absolutely, you do.
But it's helpful.
It is helpful. The nice part about indoor is there's not a long layover between seasons. I mean, you know, the football guys had 2 days off and they're back here.
Yeah.
Our cross-country guys had a couple weeks off.
Bob did cross country? Okay.
Bob's my cross country coach, and okay. he does the outdoor program too. So he's a three season guy.
Okay. All right, now you're off mic, Bob, but maybe so working. Yeah. Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah. Thanks, coach. There you go. So tell us a little bit about your involvement now. Now you're an assistant in this program?
Right.
Or okay, so tell me about what's your role in this? What does coach give you?
I usually work with the middle distance and distance runners, 600, 1,000 mile and 2 mile indoors, and the middle distance and distance runners outdoors.
Mm-hmm. Transition to indoor. Is there a big difference between indoor and outdoor?
Indoor and outdoor?
Yeah.
Just the events are different, for one thing.
I'm talking about training and so on. To me, it would be...
No, the training is about the same.
Okay.
We try to, as Coach said, we try to transition kids from cross-country to indoors, mm-hmm. and then from indoors to outdoors. And the other sports, kids that are in other sports, we find that they come in pretty good shape, so it's just a matter of sustaining that.
Okay. All right, so finally, when's this thing all get started? When's the first meet and so on?
A week from tonight.
Really? Yeah. All right, and where is this one?
Right here.
Okay.
Against Marblehead.
Marblehead. And is it one team at a time you guys face against?
Pretty much,
that work?
Yeah. It's pretty much that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And, Kevin, looking back on football, you guys are okay with that? You had a great season.
Yeah.
A couple of disappointments. I got to tell you, we have live streaming video. And so I was in Florida, Disney World, when I watched the Beverly Marblehead game.
Oh, geez.
And I was shocked. Yeah, really. I was totally, totally shocked. They just came down the field. It was amazing.
Yeah.
But I want to congratulate. I just told Mr. Coffey, your comportment, the team's comportment after the Gloucester game was outstanding. The sportsmanship that was shown,
yep.
and the respect that you guys have for one another. Now, with track, my final thing is with track. I know with lacrosse, there's other camps, programs, clinics, and so on you go to. Do you know other participants in track as well from across the North Shore?
Over the years, I mean, I've gotten to meet some kids like who've done football and lacrosse, and
mm-hmm.
it's definitely fun getting to meet the kids again and be like, oh,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
It's a different playing level, but it's always fun. It keeps the meets interesting sometimes.
So where are the spaghetti dinners for you guys?
They alternate. The kids' parents put them on.
Seriously? Okay,
they
really?
They alternate from week to week.
I didn't think it would with 10,000
yeah,
people in
well,
the program.
Well, indoors we probably don't do it as much as cross-country. Cross-country, it's a real ritual.
Okay.
We try to alternate it.
I'm going to let Bob, Bill, cancel it, finish this up. And Bob, if you give it back to Seth there,
okay. Finish this up.
Well, guys, I think we're good. Any coach? Any other thoughts from you, Sean, on the winter track for the boys?
You know, I mean, we've had two really great winning seasons. You know, we had came down to the wire with Gloucester and Peabody last year, where we came pretty close to capturing a title. So, you know, with this, we're looking forward to going after a title this year.
You can call our score line. We'll get you those details in a few days here. How to contact? How to post stuff on after events. We'd love
Fantastic.
To have you do that.
Absolutely.
Kevin, great meeting you, and
nice to meet you
best
too.
Of luck this winter and with lacrosse. I'm looking forward to see some lacrosse games.
Thank you.
You got it.
Thank you. Thank you very much,
good.
Guys.
All right. Thank you,
thank
guys.
Thank you. Great
okay.
talking to you.
All right.
Great.
Thank you. Super.
All right. We're going to move from boys track to wrestling here.
Who's the coach? Where's the coach?
Paul, right here.
Where's the coach? You guys all look like coaches.
Paul Casey is here along. Paul, if you can hear me now,
yes.
right? Okay. Paul, introduce your two players from the wrestling team that you brought with us, your two athletes there.
So these are two of my four captains. This is Christian Echevarria, senior captain for us, and Ahmad El-Shrafi, also a senior captain. They were also captains last year.
Christian, you play football, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, great. Okay. And Ahmad, do you play other sports here?
Football, yeah.
You did play football? Okay. Of course, Kevin Flaherty played football, and I didn't get to a lot of the football games. I was assigned other places here, so I'm just trying to plead ignorant here in this things here.
A lot of our wrestlers are actually football players too. We have a really good relationship with the football team.
So you guys really fighting it out with the track team for athletes, are you?
Generally,
maybe
yeah.
that's why there was a lot of tension here when you guys slid in to take their place here.
Yeah, we don't have as much room upstairs as track does down here, so sometimes we don't get the numbers, but yeah, certainly it's the same type of athletes.
So tell us about what are you guys doing now, and then how things change once the season begins.
Yeah, I mean, we're just trying to get back into it. Wrestling's an interesting sport here at the high school because most of the guys coming up have little to no experience. We don't really have a youth program in Beverly. There is some youth wrestling in the area, but most freshmen are starting from scratch. They've never even been on a mat before. So it's an interesting mix because I have seniors here that are competing for, you know, even state titles. And then I have guys that have never even stepped foot on the mat. So the first couple weeks is an interesting practice where we're going over the basics, which can be frustrating for the older guys, but also important to fine-tune some of those basics as well. So
what's the training regimen like in the first week? What do you guys do?
It stays pretty consistent throughout the year. The hard thing is getting back into wrestling shape,
mm-hmm.
because we feel it's one of the hardest sports, if not the hardest sport in school. So to come off even a hard season like football and try to get back into that wrestling shape can be very difficult. So the first couple weeks are pretty hard for the guys. We go through our warm-up, which is pretty intense, into drilling and just kind of fine-tuning our moves, and then even right down to our conditioning can be very extensive, very hard for the guys. So,
Christian, what year are you in?
I am a senior.
You are a senior.
Yes.
Okay, so you've been around a while. How long have you been in wrestling?
This is my fourth year of varsity wrestling.
How'd you get started? Why did you get started?
I knew I wasn't going to make the basketball team, so I knew I had to do
wrestling. Now, wait a minute. Man, you're an athlete. Don't give me that. And you're fast, and you can probably jump. Yeah. Really? So early on, you decided you want to try wrestling?
Yeah, it was the night I had a bunch of seniors come up to me and ask me, hey, you're going to come out to wrestle? And I was pretty much like, no. But then I was like, looked at the basketball team. I could tell that they're all better than me, so I was just like, hey, why not?
All right, and so what's that been like? I'm sure freshman it was kind of scary and freaky and weird. But now that you're a senior and you've got all the experience, you probably have some younger kids on the team as well that you look at and see yourself, perhaps. Well, what's that transition been like for you? I mean, did you know anything about wrestling when you started?
Absolutely not. As a freshman, I was wicked scared coming up into the lineup, and I was just like, I got to do what I got to do. I wrestled JV for most of the year, and then I came up to varsity, and then it was a big change, especially going up to varsity. And then my sophomore year was I wrestled all varsity, and at the beginning, I was kind of scared, but then I started getting into it and winning matches, mm-hmm. and then last year was when I really hit the peak, and I got really comfortable where I was wrestling, and hopefully this year is my year to win a state title, hopefully.
Mark, tell us about how you got introduced into wrestling, how you got it on the team.
I was a freshman, and I got talking to it. I was 106 pounds. They needed a 106-pounder. I was wrestling varsity from the start. I mean, I was a little nervous at the start. I didn't even know what I was doing. I got in the match. I had no idea what was going on. I didn't know the score. I mean, I won my first two varsity matches, which I thought pretty good for first year.
What do you weigh right now?
Right now, I weigh around 140.
Packing it on, huh?
Yeah, packing it on.
Football tends to do that. They hit the gym from freshman year on, and all of a sudden some of these kids come back, and I teach at the middle school, and sometimes I go without seeing them for a few weeks, even a couple months at a time, and I show up and I'm like, man, I had you penciled in at like 113 this year and you weigh 150 pounds, so you gotta make a different plan, so
let me have that back if I could, Tommy. Thank you.
Just so we get into our recorder here, I just want to finish up with Christian. The technique.
Yes.
Now, Coach, how long you been here?
This is my seventh year.
Okay.
With the program.
So how do you teach technique to the younger kids, and how did you learn technique? We'll start with you first, Coach.
Okay. Being around the sport a long time, this is going on my 21st year being associated with wrestling in one form or another, it kind of comes a little naturally, I think, to teach some of the younger guys a lot of the basics. One of the biggest assets I have, though, are these older guys that are in the room, because as a small program, comparative to the other teams in, mm-hmm. in the school, we only field about 35 guys. These guys almost come out as assistant coaches for
okay.
me. So they've been around the sport a long time. They make it a priority even when the season's done to study their moves at home, and they can come back in and really teach some of the younger guys.
So, Christian, you've gone from student to teacher. Is that how it works?
That's basically how it is. last year I basically spent a lot of time learning so much, and then after the season I wrestled at a wrestling club, and I learned so much more, and especially when I'm at home I learn too. I sit down, when I'm done with my homework I'll probably watch a couple college wrestling matches.
Really?
And I'll learn
okay.
from there too.
Yeah. I was going to say, does YouTube help at all, or
yeah.
In sports? Does it?
Yeah.
Helps okay.
Yeah.
What's that one on ESPN, the science, the sports science or whatever and all? You ever see those things?
No.
Okay.
The sport of wrestling, it kind of has its own following, its own cult following.
Yeah.
And they have all these websites that are devoted completely to that, and the kids watch them, and they learn new moves and new techniques. And, Ahmad and Etch will come in, and I'll be teaching a move, and they're like, and I take no offense to it, and they'll say, hey, Coach, have you thought about teaching it this way?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, no, I haven't, but that works a lot better, so we'll implement it.
You always get a kid, in calculus, explain me the problem. I said, you can't. You look at it, said, oh, I didn't know you could do it that way. That's right.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
no,
it works.
A lot of the same.
I want to ask the kids a couple more questions about your academics, okay?
Right. We'll start with
Christian, tell me about your schedule, your school schedule.
My school schedule, now being a senior, is kind of easy, as you would say. But I mean,
you know, we can't edit this.
It's gonna be
I mean, it's
tough for next year.
I mean, being a senior now, it's a lot easier, but you know, you still got to take enough time to work in the classroom. And especially, it's kind of like wrestling where you have to like come into every single class and you still got to do your best and everything, especially like tests and stuff like that. And I just take any effort I can to study and get good grades. That's how I like to do it.
Excellent. Ahmad? Yeah, my schedule is pretty easy too. I mean, I have some hard classes like Honors Pre-Calc, Honors English. I mean, I work hard in school. I want to go to a good college.
What schools have you looked at?
I've looked at UMass Amherst, University of Hartford, URI, American International College, High Point, and Bryant University.
UMass. Have you been out there?
Yes, I've been out there.
Like it?
My sister just graduated from there.
Huh?
My sister graduated from there last year.
Okay, good. All right, let me have that one back, I guess. Thank you. And we'll wrap this up. I guess Bill's taking up. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Coach, any final thoughts here now? When does the season begin, and who do we look for to challenge Beverly?
Sure, we have a meet a week from Saturday. It's called the NEC Brawl. Basically, all the
NEC Brawl.
The NEC Brawl.
Okay.
Yeah, all the NEC teams.
I guess that works.
This year's a little different. We also have it's an invitational, so we have a bunch of other teams coming. So the 7 NEC teams is actually 6 additional teams that are going to be coming. Chelmsford, Foxborough, just to name a couple, which is some good competition. We were 13-13-1 last year. We had a 500 record. This year, as always, our goal is to win the NEC. But we have some tough competition in the NEC. Gloucester is always improving. And then Danvers is perennial powerhouse with the sport for the last few years. So, you know, they're always a challenge to us, and the matches always come down to really the last match on the night. So.
Well, with kids like this, it looks like you can't lose no matter what.
Yeah, so
that's
gonna,
awesome.
We're going to do our best.
Thank you, Coach.
Right,
I appreciate it. Thank you. Ahmad, thank you. Christian, best of luck to you guys. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, that's the Beverly Wrestling Team, big contingent of the Beverly Wrestling Team. And that was Coach Paul Casey, Christian Echeverria, and Ahmad Al-Sharafi. On board here, and now we bring on a familiar face, certainly that I've seen quite a while, many times, is Dave Jellerson. And
Chandler Jones is here, an assistant coach.
Nice, Rick, to meet you, Coach.
So I'm going to give Chandler the headset too here.
How you doing, guys?
Okay, leave me holding the. That's fine.
I'm going to let you hold.
Okay, we can go back.
You're a professional broadcaster.
Let
you
do the heavy lifting.
I know. Dave, first of all.
Girls track. So it's girls track, just for
right,
our listeners, you know.
I was going to get into that, but
I'm
that's
sorry.
Okay. I Novocaine. I had
Thank
two
you.
Shots of Novocaine in my mouth. Coach Dave Jellerson, though, really, seriously, a legend. You win. You've done nothing but winning. And maybe for those of us, for those who don't know who you are, maybe a quick bio on how long you've been at Beverly, what you've done at Beverly, because it's been amazing.
Well, this is my 27th year coaching at Beverly. I started in 1974 back in Danvers and coached at Pingree a little bit. So I've been doing this a long time. Coach Chandler and I have been together for 15 years.
Oh, 15.
Yeah, and we've been very successful. Indoors is we're 26 seasons in the indoors, and we're 192 wins with only 11 losses and 15 titles. We've won 4 in a row.
Wait. Give me those again. 192.
And 11.
And 11 and 15 titles.
Right. So the girls have been great. You know,
I'm just thinking they talk about Belichick, but that's incredible, though. Now, you know, Dave, do kids come back? You know, like in football, on Thanksgiving, kids will come up to the press box and they'll talk to the coaches, or they'll see the coaches during the week. You get kids who check in with you from time to time as adults.
Oh, absolutely. One of the great things about this is we have great athletes, great girls. They work really hard. They're motivated and they're sweet people. So a lot of times I'll get letters all the time telling me they just got married or they're getting married. I got a letter from a girl about a month.
Grandparents have just become grandparents.
Oh, I'm coaching their kids and their grandkids at this point, you know. And I got a letter just about a month ago from a girl that I coached in 1974 who said she was out running and enjoying the weather and she thought about
74,
me.
74, awesome.
And brought me a letter. So it was
that's
really
cool.
Sweet, yes. It's really nice. So that's the high part of
Another
example, we just had a young lady here with us today who graduated in 07 that still comes by and trains with the girls.
And
she works as a motivator for the kids and loves to touch base with the coach and keep the spirit alive.
One thing that's a little different with track, I think, that as opposed to, I don't know, some other sports, but the kids do tend to help each other out a little bit more, don't they?
Absolutely. I'm a little bit under the weather today and was kind of holding back, and I was watching in the I coached a shot put event, and the kids were teaching the younger athletes the techniques. They'd get in the shot put circle and they'd correct where their feet are, they would adjust their arms, and I think that is a great, not only how they help each other out, but the athletes that are helping, they're going through it in their mind, mm-hmm. the proper way to do the technique, sure. And it's like a practice for them as well.
Well, as you guys know as coaches, when you teach it, you learn it better, for sure.
Absolutely.
Right. And when we have like 65 or 70 girls, I rely very heavily on the experienced girls, the seniors. I tell them to work out, and they help the younger kids pulling along, and I use the captains a lot to make sure that they introduce them to the program, what I expect of them, and I can just stay up and observe and take notes, and the older kids help run the program. We couldn't do it without it.
Dave, how did you guys make connections? Because I know I knew that the late Jim Munn, and Jim did so much on his own. He didn't have a lot of help sometimes, but he did rely on the kids, same as you do. But you guys have had, it seems, a pretty good collaboration overall. How'd that work out? How'd it begin and everything?
Well, Chandler coached at Bill Ricker for a long time before he came into the Beverly school system, and we had an opening, and I think it was Red Hutt that told me a long time ago that we got a guy that really can help us, and so we had an opening as assistant coach, and Chandler came down, and it's been a wonderful marriage. Mm-hmm. Couldn't do it without him.
What's the hardest part of coaching indoor track? Because to me it would seem, and I think it's a good thing when you get kids. A lot of kids sometimes come out, maybe not to compete sometimes, just to be on the team, to get in shape, to maybe to go for another sport, or just to put it on their resume. But you do have your top three kids with a program. But what's the most difficult thing, Chandler, of working with young women?
Well, we do have some students that do come out, the student-athletes, to put it on their resume, to get in shape. But what's nice about this is everybody is getting the same training. It doesn't matter if you're the number one or the number 21. We're giving you the same workout, but we give you goals and times to match your ability. And the best part, I think, about track is going for that personal best.
Mm-hmm.
That personal best throw, that personal best run, that personal best jump. And so by putting those goals out there for them, that gives them something to shoot for. The challenge is, for us, you know, we're really a coach and a half. I'm the assistant for the boys and girls,
mm-hmm.
and we have 65 girls.
Well, I didn't realize you were
a coach and a half. Bob Brown is a volunteer, and he helps with the boys, but I'm doing boys and girls shot put, and so it's just the sheer numbers with only a body and a half to work with them, I think, is the challenge. But because we have the help from the other athletes, that can make a difference, and the fact that, you know, I just put that personal best goal out there for them each meet,
cool.
each time.
Yeah.
That kind of get, we don't have to do as much motivating, and of course we're going to focus in with the varsity athletes on their goals and their race strategies, and the other athletes we just say, all right, what was your best time last meet? Let's see if we can get this, or this is the part of the race you might be able to change to reach that goal.
All right, and Dave, the championship aspect. I'm guessing that it's not just seasonal for you, that it's pretty much a year-round endeavor with these kids. And do you have kids out of season who come back for advice?
Oh, yeah, sometimes. I do this all three seasons. I do cross-country in the fall, and then we do winter, and then we go right out into spring, into March. So I'm here 9 months of the year with the kids, and a lot of times we'll set up goals for the summertime as well. And a lot of times they'll say, I'm doing this or doing that, or I got an injury here. What do I do with it? What does this mean? So we help them out whatever we can, and the kids always know. It's kind of a family situation where they can come and talk to us. Even though they may be with another sport, they can come over and ask us our advice, and we help them out as much as we possibly can.
One of the things that's happened with me is I work with some more of the athletes that are only track athletes for one or two seasons, where Dave, with the distance runners, they tend to do all three.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get text messages in the off season saying, what can I do to be ready for the season? What can I do to get in shape? I've even received text messages over the summer saying, all right, I'm going to do indoor track. What should I be doing through the summer and into the fall to get ready?
Excellent. Dave, what's this year's team look like?
We got some real good returning athletes from last year's team. The senior leadership is really good. my wish list. I always tell Chandler I have a wish list of athletes that I want to get from other teams, and just about every one of them this year came out, so I'm very fortunate. with a top-notch cross-country team that we had to finish fifth in the States this year, and we're really strong there, and we got good high jumpers, and we really got good athletes in all the events, so we're looking for another really good season.
I'm going to give you, I'll email you a number and get you a number that you can call in your reports if you feel like doing it, or an email or whatever. But I'm hoping also during the season we can talk to you on our Monday night show. I know that sometimes it conflicts with meets and practices, but would that be okay?
Yeah, it's the same one that we had that you gave me there. Was the wrong number in the beginning, but then you corrected
exactly
it.
Exactly so. That's correct. Yeah,
I do have that on my file.
Okay, yeah, we'll make sure it's the right one. But, God, great to see you
again, Dave.
Always. And Chandler, nice to meet you.
Nice
best
to meet
of
you.
Luck, guys. Thank you.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you. That's the Beverly Girls Track Coaching Contingent.
We're moving right into boys basketball right now. Joining us is Scott Lewis. He is the head coach at Beverly Basketball. And also joining us, Kyle Coughlin and Sam Trakoff will be joining us. And we'll have the coach. So it's Sam, you got the headset, right?
Yeah.
We have three headsets, folks, just so you know. But Rick will help out here. But Scott, maybe just tell it. What's the team outlook for this year?
Well, I think we're very optimistic of this season. We return eight players from last year's team that made the state tournament, including four starters. So we're pretty optimistic for this season.
What about the league? What's the league looking like here?
Well, it's the
Danbury's going to be down again this year.
You know, they're right at the top of the list as usual, along with Lynn English. So the league has sort of switched it up a little bit this year, where Danvers has moved to the large, and Salem has moved to the small.
Okay,
so that doesn't really help us one way or the other because Salem is always good.
You're up in the large.
We're in the large, so this year we'll play Danvers twice. And Salem only once, but
because I noticed on that's when I looked at the schedule on Rivalry Night, you guys are playing Danvers now. Does that sound right? Or, you know, it's not. You know, when English plays classical, maybe.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It could be.
You're just looking at Beverly. That's all you're looking at, Scott. I get that.
I'm just looking at the first game.
Well, let me just ask Sam some thoughts about this year's team.
I think we're looking pretty good. We got guys, we're working really hard in the off season. Even guys that were playing other sports, they were getting in as much as possible, putting in some time, keeping their skills up and everything. So I think we're going to be pretty good.
Gotcha. And maybe we can swap the headset off too. I'm sorry, we don't have like 16 headsets here. But Kyle Coughlin, welcome, and your thoughts too on the season.
Yeah, we're looking to have a good season this year. We have a lot of the guys coming back. We have eight seniors on the team, so we have good experience and we have good team chemistry. So we know how to play with each other, and hopefully that'll translate into the season where we can succeed.
Now, I should ask both of you the same question, but if you were to single out some players, or even though it's so early in practice right now, who are you really counting on your team, your teammates this year?
Yeah, so our bigs are really two players who we expect great things out of this year, Ryan Garrity and Patrick Gavin. They should be great assets to our team on rebounding and post-scoring, so they're looking to have some good seasons this year, as well as Kevin Morency and Sean Clevis, guards off the bench. They should help us a lot this season as well.
Sam, I'm going to have you give that to Kyle, and the headset, rather. And Kyle, what's your answer to that? You're right. I'm backwards. I'm sorry. That's why Kyle is giving me this look like, what are you talking about? So I'm sorry. Kyle, if you can give the headset to Sam, there we go, Sam Trakoff. Sam, how would you answer that same question with your teammates?
I agree with Kyle big time on the bigs. They're going to be a huge asset for us. We need some rebounds down low, so they're going to have to contribute a lot. Also, we brought in a kid from Lynn, came in this year, Hugh Callis, very athletic. He should help us a lot in the glass, so he should be a
recruiting.
Big asset.
Recruiting, there you go, coach. Nice.
That one just fell into our lap. That was fantastic. They moved here, and you know, I just met Hugh the other day, but he seems like a great addition to our team.
He played football. He played football,
excellent
right?
Football player, and the football coaches are raving about him.
I know you guys only have a couple more minutes because you're right in the middle of practice, but I'll give it to Rick for a couple of questions and we'll wrap up.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I just want to, Coach, if you don't mind, I want to ask the kids about the academics because they got to fit this in. Now you guys are both seniors.
Yeah.
Okay. How's your schedule this year, and how's it fit in with basketball? You okay with it?
Yeah, definitely. I tried to get as much of my hard classes out of the way my first 3 years. I'm still taking some tough classes right now, but my classes this year are easier than the prior years.
And this is Sam, right?
Yeah.
Okay, have you looked at schools?
Yeah, I'm playing basketball at Gordon next year.
Congratulations.
College. Thank you.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And what do you think you might want to major in?
I want to major in special education.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right, let's bring the same thing over to Scott. Do I have it right?
Kyle.
Kyle. I put Scott here. It's Scott Lewis is the coach here. Kyle. All right, Kyle, academics this year, what do you got?
Yeah, so I'm having a pretty tough schedule for school this year. Taking an AP class and all honors classes besides for that one.
What's your AP class?
AP statistics.
Stats, all right. That's your math class then.
Right, right.
Okay, and what are you looking at for schools?
I'm looking at Clark University, Roger Williams, Babson.
Clark Chemistry. What do you want to look major in?
Hoping to do business management.
Okay.
So they have this fifth year program where you can get your MBA in 1 year and have the tuition for that fifth year be free. So. Well,
okay, this is pretty smart. All right.
Right.
Guys, congratulations. Good to meet you, and best of luck this year.
All right. Thanks very
much. We'll talk to you later on, Coach. Obviously, some smart kids on the team too. Yes. That's got to help.
Absolutely. You know, we're kind of lucky. We're almost the entire team. They're excellent students, so it makes my life a lot easier where I don't have to check on their grades every day.
How long have you been doing this now, Scott?
This will be my 12th season as the head coach.
All right. Highlights. What's maybe looking back? What's anything that you really stands out in your memory? Coaching here at Beverly that you have real fond memories about?
Well, geez, that's hard to say. I mean, it's been such a pleasure to I went to school here, obviously, and graduated here. My assistant coaches have all played here as well. And, you know, really it's just the kids, you know, really enjoyed. You know, we've had so many great athletes come through here. It's been a lot of fun.
It's funny. I just as you were saying that, I realized that you're not going to talk about a game or a win or a last sec. It's going to be about the kids you've had.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And that's what keeps you doing it, I presume.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
And now, how many kids do you have to come out? Do you have different levels? You got
We do. We have a freshman team, a JV team, and a varsity team. I think altogether we had over 60 boys try out.
Really?
Yeah.
Excellent.
You know, unfortunately, with basketball, it is a cut sport.
Right.
So we had to let a lot of those kids go. But I think we have 13, 26. I want to say maybe 39 boys in the entire program.
How many are going to carry on varsity?
13.
All right. And how difficult is it if you're in a really competitive game? To get, what do you get, maybe 7 or 8 kids in at most?
Yeah, probably 8,
okay.
9.
But the other kids know that. They understand that.
Yeah, in fact, we just had a discussion about that in the locker room about, you know, finding out what everybody's role will be this year, mm-hmm. and then accepting that and working hard. And if you're not getting playing time, then, you know, give it the best you can in practice to help the guys in front of you get better and help yourself.
Right. And I know you're busy, Coach, but final thought. Some of the kids you're going to be relying on this year, name them.
You just met two of our captains. They've both been on the team. Sam's been on the team for 4 years since his freshman year. Kyle's been since his sophomore year. They both were starters last year. John Loretti started for us at the three last year. And two big men, Pat Gavin, Ryan Garrity. You know, Ryan was a starter last year as well. Pat was a sixth man.
Big body, too, isn't he, Ryan?
Yeah. Yeah, he's about 6'3", 6'4", he goes by now. He's, I think he packed on another 10 pounds of muscle, so we're hoping for a heck of a football player, so we're hoping for good things from him.
First game is when?
Tuesday.
15th.
Here at Beverly versus Lynn Classical.
All right, Scott. Thank you so much. Congratulations. Good luck with everything.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, that's Scott Lewis, who is the boys basketball coach, along with two of his captains, Sam Coughlin and Kyle Coughlin and Sam Trakoff. I had it backwards. Do I have that right? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So where do we go from here?
We're going to girls basketball.
Okay.
All right, we're going to talk girls basketball here. We're coming down the home stretch here, ladies and gentlemen. Seth Stanchel is with us. Did we pronounce that right, Seth?
You got it. You nailed it.
Congratulations. New first-year coach here at Beverly High School. But
you're
no stranger to the girls program here, right?
No. I was helping out Coach Flynn for the past 2 years, doing the JV and helping out on varsity.
Okay. So, and you're a phys ed teacher here in the high school.
I am, phys ed and health.
And so I guess tell us your outlook for this year's team. Because obviously you guys have – Coach Flynn and yourself, you got the program that did turn around in the last couple of years, and you're a part of that. So how do you continue that along, and what's the outlook for the team?
Sure. Well, I'm pretty lucky to start just because Coach Flynn did such a good job with the girls over the past 2 years. She really took a program that was struggling and turned it around. And the girls who are coming back now, the returners who've been there for a couple of years, they're very good leaders and they're good role models, and it makes it easy for me as a coach. It's not like I'm starting from scratch and kind of building this brand new thing. There's already a good foundation in place, which is really nice for me. It makes it so much easier as a coach to have those senior leaders who are doing what they're supposed to be doing and holding other girls accountable. It's very nice.
How'd you get involved in coaching girls basketball in the first place?
I kind of fell into it. I started as soon as I graduated college.
Where'd you go to school?
Keene State.
Okay.
Yep. As soon as I graduated college, I got an internship at the WNBA Chicago Sky. So I went and lived in Chicago for a summer, and I worked for there for that whole team, and I had a great summer, great experience, awesome coaches.
Really? Okay,
and
cool.
And that connection brought me home to Endicott, where I got to be the assistant under Coach Phil Rowe, who was there on the men's side for 2 years, all while I was looking for a teaching job, because that's what I went to school for. So then when I got the teaching job, I didn't have enough time to do the college, so I just stopped. And then Coach Flynn got the job, and she asked me if I wanted to help out, and I said sure. So it was kind of my first go-about with high school girls. But it's been really, really fun and a great learning experience.
Oh, I'm sure. Absolutely. Any difference now in your, you know, either philosophy or training or how you handle the kids between being an assistant coach and now the head coach?
Yeah, there absolutely is. You have to make all the decisions. And as assistant, you can kind of have good ideas. You can always, like, hint towards things and, like, maybe this will work. Maybe that will work. Hey,
Because otherwise you'll keep your mouth shut,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, hey, we should try this. We should try that. But here, you know, it's what I say goes. And I always accept all the ideas from everyone else and the assistants, the other coaches. But at the end of the day, you know, it's what my decision is. That's what we have to do. So that's something I always have to think about.
So what will be the style of Beverly girls basketball under Seth Stanchel?
I hope we're just tough. That's what I want. I want us to work really hard defensively. I want teams to not want to come and play us. I want them to be afraid that when they come, we're going to come at them, whether we're more talented or less talented. I want them to know that we're going to go hard every single possession, especially defensively. That's what I would like it to be.
Okay, so now talk about some of the names of these kids who are going to do that for you.
Sure. Well, our captains, we have Melissa Lubis, Alicia Cicchini, and Olivia George, all seniors. They're all returning, been on the team before, and that's exactly what they are, is they're tough. And they all do it in a different way, which is great, because together they combine into something really, really nice, and the girls really look up to them. So having those girls set that tone, the younger girls and the girls who are just joining varsity now, they're really starting to kind of get on board with it. Because, you know, the leaders do it, the stars do it, and now everyone else wants to do it. It comes a thing that everyone's doing.
How many younger kids did you get onto varsity this year?
Let's see. We have one freshman off the top of my head here. We have one sophomore. I believe we have four juniors, and the rest are seniors. I could be wrong we just made our finalized team last night.
Well, you know, obviously this is way early. Do you look at the rest of the league and say, you know, this is a must, we got to have this one, or this one's a real challenge, or you just right now just putting the thing together and let's see how you know, how that first game turns out?
Yeah, not quite yet. Well, I think now it's more about ourselves.
Yeah.
We need to figure out, you know, what's our identity? What are we going to do? And then I think maybe halfway through the year, it's time to start looking at those games and saying, okay.
You teach in this building as well?
I do, yeah.
All right, so you get to see these kids then during the day if you need
Absolutely.
To.
Absolutely. Well, a lot of them.
That's a real advantage.
I already have relationships with a lot of
them
just because they've either been in my class or I also coach volleyball too, so they could have been on that volleyball team as well. So the nice thing is I've been able to develop relationships with these girls prior to this year.
Where'd you go to high school?
I went to Beverly High.
Did you play sports here?
I did. I did soccer, basketball, lacrosse.
Okay.
And then at Keene State, I played basketball.
Really?
Yeah.
Excellent, excellent. Cold up there, though, in the winter, isn't it?
Oh, it's brutal. It is absolutely brutal.
All right, Coach, anything else you want to mention about the girls' basketball this year, what to expect, and you know, what we're going to look for with you as your first year as head coach?
Gosh, not off the top of my head. I just hope that we're known as playing hard. You know, playing hard, playing fair, and that if people come and see us, they like what they see. They know that we're playing the game the right way.
Okay. All right. So we're going to see you during the season, and best of luck to you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Coach.
All right. We'll be in touch with you.
Thank you very much.
Care.
And, Bill, you've got a...
Yep. We got
another guest here.
We have just saved the best guest for last, I suppose, right? Thanks, Seth. Well, yeah, and... Carla Baranis. Did I pronounce that right, Carla?
It's Sharla.
Sharla.
Well, you pronounced probably the hardest name you probably
that's,
got.
I wasn't, you know, that's what it was. I wasn't looking at the first name.
There you go.
I apologize. Sharla Baranis. Correct?
Correct.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The athletic trainer here. Maybe we can move your microphone a little closer to your mouth. All right.
How's that?
Perfect. That is great. Well, tell us. Yeah, we got her, Coach. We got her.
You don't look very happy to be here.
It'd be tough.
Well, I'm trying to do my work.
I know. Well, you can keep an eye on them. If anything happens, we'll let you go. That's not a problem. Just zip right out there.
We're actually taking body fat percentages for the wrestlers today.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Where do you
just
do that?
For the wrestlers, not everyone
just
that comes in here, I hope.
Correct.
Now,
just
why
wrestlers.
Is that? Because I saw we had a couple of the captains on. Good God, there can't be any body fat on them.
So what happens is we need a baseline of their body fat mm-hmm. so that they maintain a certain weight during the season and they don't go under that weight or
don't
that
go
body
under
fat
it.
Percentage.
Okay, because usually when you take a BMI, it's so people don't want to go over it. So
right, so we're doing skinful calipers to get a body fat percentage.
Okay, now what's your background? Where'd you go to school? You got a Salem State sweatshirt on here, so.
It's true. My undergrad is at Salem State, mm-hmm. and then I went for a master's at Framingham
And
State.
What are your degrees in?
So my undergraduate degree is in athletic training, mm-hmm. and then my post-grad degree, the grad degree, is in it's actually an education mm-hmm. with a concentration in nutrition education.
Ooh. Now, is this your full-time job?
Yes.
As an athletic director?
Yep, I'm a full-time athletic trainer here.
Fantastic. Now, did you do football as well?
We did football.
Okay. How difficult is it? How difficult is it to do all the sports? Because I know Mary Ellen Zilski up in Gloucester, and you know she's mainly at the contact games where there's contact hockey and football. So how difficult is it with all the kids that you have to take a look at? How do you figure out your priorities and what you do?
Well, obviously your high contact equipment intense sports are mm-hmm. going to be your biggest priority, number one. And then number two is you also look for sports that you might not think of that might have more injuries mm-hmm. than you would
Such
expect.
As?
So, for example, a lot of people don't know that cheerleading comes in second as the most concussions after football.
Yeah, that I know. It's one of the most dangerous sports because, and I'm going to say this delicately, it's akin to track. It's akin to what's the word I'm looking for? The vaulting and all that stuff.
Without pole vaulting.
No, not pole vaulting.
The field activities.
There's a sport. I can't even think. Oh my God! But anyway,
is it a board game? Is it
No, it's not Monopoly.
Oh, okay.
But you don't have a lot of qualified coaches sometimes spotting in cheerleading, and so some of these tosses where these flyers go, it's pretty weird. So you do get a lot of injuries.
We do get a lot more injuries than most people would expect.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I expected. But okay. So now your role here. We're down to one team, but winter sports that obviously changes. In essence, but what's similar to all the seasons and all the sports? What do you look for? Why are you here?
Well, first of all, injuries are going to be prevalent. It's part of the actual game that you're participating in. But to get them back to their sport
right.
in an efficient amount of time, so that they can participate and be healthy, is really my main objective.
Is it as much prevention as it is first aid sometimes?
Yes.
Or more.
Hopefully,
perhaps.
Your prevention outweighs the amount of time you take treating and rehabbing your athletes.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes two hand. If you do a lot of prevention, you do it well, you spend less time treating and rehabilitating.
How long have you been doing it here at Beverly?
I've been doing it here 8 years.
8 years? Or
mm-hmm. looks like yeah, I had 12, that. 12 so I had old. That,
okay.
Rick. I had eight
okay.
seasons right
Sorry
here.
About that, Charlotte.
Yeah.
Do you find that in your role in the high school level that kids sometimes come in and it's almost like a maternal thing. They're looking for a little bit more than tape. They're just looking for a little more reassurance. You find that at all? Sort of a counseling thing.
Sometimes, and you can predict when that's going to start happening during the season.
Okay.
Mid-season, they're tired. You know, they've worked hard in school. They've worked hard on the fields. It wears on them, just like everyone else that has a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
You get days where you're tired. They do, too. So sometimes you just have to give them a little bit of moral support.
Absolutely. Do you do any teaching in terms of kids in preparation or taping or prevention or any? Do you actually teach the kids and explain things to them that they're not aware of?
So that's part of it, too, is if you can educate them on certain matters, and specifically concussions.
Gymnastics was the word I was looking for.
Oh, okay.
Oh my. Jeez. I'm sorry.
We have that here.
Doing. Well, that's a dangerous sport. We're
yes.
talking about cheerleading. I'm sorry, but the concussions and so on.
So if you can educate them, that can be almost as important as preventing injuries, or the form of prevention is educating them, their coaches, their parents.
Right.
Educating them on things they can do at home to take care of injuries. So there's some things they want to avoid with what we call a traumatic or an acute injury, and some things they want to do with a chronic injury that are going to be different. And
okay.
if you educate them, it does help in their process.
And what about your learning curve and your training? I mean, you must have to keep up with the literature?
You definitely have to keep up with the literature. I actually teach at Salem State. in the athletic training department, so that helps me stay on top of things constantly.
Excellent. All right. So it's all available to you and so on?
Yes.
Okay. What's the best part? What's the most fun? What do you like about this?
I think the best part is when you have been working with an athlete through an injury and they step back on that field, they score the goal that wins the game,
mm-hmm.
or they just come in and they say thank you for a great season and working with them. That's probably the best thing.
Without being specific, have you had any really scary stuff happen in your tenure here?
Here we usually have the common things, tears, sprains, mm-hmm. breaks, things like that.
If something were to happen, say on the ice or in a football field, that you need more help, how do you do that?
So we haven't already set up what we call an emergency action plan. So it kind of breaks up who is responsible for what. So mm-hmm. when I need backup, I will call EMTs to come in. If we needed to send them to a referring doctor, we already have those set up.
Okay.
And a list of people that we work with in the community. And then we have just a basic program of who does what in an emergency.
If you're at an event, say I'm winter sports, say at a hockey game, and something happens, and you say, okay, I really need help. Is it a phone or a radio? How do you do that?
We usually, it depends on where you are. Certain places like mm-hmm. campuses will be at Endicott, so their policy is we'll call the actual security. They're at Endicott. They'll get us EMS if we need that. Usually a police officer is there to help us direct. Our athletic director would mm-hmm. Help in organizing the crowds or talking to parents, things like that.
All right. Finally, if you have kids who want to go to college and they want to get into athletic training, what's your advice?
Make sure that they take time shadowing an athletic trainer and see what they do on a regular basis. Go through different seasons with them and really just understand what would take place in a daily work day.
Unbelievable. Coach, okay, we got James Coffee back here. Thank you, Charlotte. I appreciate it.
Well, I had one okay. more hard-hitting question.
Okay, here we go. Yep.
It's just, you know, I was wondering what your policy is on how many student-athletes can be in your training room at one time.
Okay, wait a minute. This is a loaded question. So give us the – before you answer – give us the background on that. James Coffee, athletic director,
is
back.
So my one pet peeve in being an athletic director is that there are students that go to the training room that don't need to be there.
You know I can mean? See why. I can understand that. I can understand that. We were just talking about that.
So sometimes I go in there and it's like all of our kids are in there. And I think I went in early once this year and I kind of looked at some kids and I said, hey, all games are canceled today. And the kids are like, what? Why? And I go, everybody's hurt. We can't play. And I walked out.
So what's the answer?
I tease Charlotte about the number of kids in the training room.
I can understand that.
I put the heat up in there to at least 75 and they're still in there.
To try to drive them out. Well, we were talking, it's sort of the maternal big sister effect, I think, for some of these kids. And you go in there, you not only need the tape or whatever, but you also get that little reassurance that you're going to be okay, you're a go-get-em type thing.
They certainly need that, and that's why Shala is the best trainer around.
There you
and,
go.
That's and why I'm glad you guys had her on. She's really good. She's a huge part of our athletic department. So she's always taking care of our kids and... we have less injuries than any school in the NEC, I'll tell you that much.
Awesome. Shala Baranis, thank you so much. Appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Great to meet you. Hope to see you soon. All right. Hold on.
He may have another question.
Shala, here's what we got, Shala. I have Coach Harrington out there, the assistant basketball coach. He's going to do it. He's going to fake an injury.
Okay.
All right. We've already rehearsed this. We've got
right.
the video. It's going to be going. You have to go out there and within 30 seconds diagnose what the problem is. Okay, we're going to follow this. We'll post it on the website. Are you ready to do this? So you see him right now, he's standing up, okay,
yep.
but he's got the basketball. Mm-hmm. So something horrible is going about to happen, okay? Okay, here we go. No, I was just kidding you. No, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
She said, it can't be serious. But I'm ready for it. You had that look that you were ready for it.
You have to be ready. Well, they pay us for is to be ready.
Yeah.
She's here, yeah. I mean,
it's amazing her calmness in those situations, and trainers in general, because I'm the opposite. I'm like
see,
ready to
see,
run.
Well, she was talking to us, their phone, because she got a couple of text messages, and I'm thinking she just kind of dismissed those, like, it's just a sprain. That's all it is. You know what I mean. Nothing serious.
Probably me.
Yeah.
Bugging her.
Okay.
Thanks,
all right. Again, Charlotte, thank you so much. Have a great great season.
Thank
Good luck with
you.
Everything. Thank you. James, we appreciate you're letting us do this and hosting this. This was really enlightening, and it gave us a chance to meet the coaches face-to-face and see all the work that they put in. Sometimes, you know, you see a little clip in the paper and the coach is quoted, and you don't realize how much work these guys are putting in.
Yeah, absolutely, and thanks for coming down. I thought this was really cool and maybe something we could do again in the future, but it's great, and, you know, we love you guys coming down here. And, yeah, they, you know, we're fortunate. We have some really good coaches here, and... you know, I'm excited to be here in the winter season. And
one number that I got to repeat, Dave Jellerson, I don't know, 20 something years, 192 wins.
Yeah.
11 losses and X number of ties. I believe
that's
15.
Just his spring record, I think.
Winter, I think.
Oh, winter. Excuse me, winter.
Yeah, I think it is just the winter. 192,
just the winter. Yeah.
11. I mean, this is you're talking National Hall of Fame here, and you've got other coaches
easy.
Of that quality
easy.
As well.
Yeah, Dave's. I mean, he's unbelievable. He's just got a way about him. He knows how to, you know, push the girls enough, but not push them to the brink of injury. And we have some talented kids, and he gets the most out of every one of them. And
well, I usually grab you on a Monday night, so this has been great. Bill?
No, I'm good.
I think I bailed on you once, didn't I, already? Was it this fall, last spring?
Probably. We always catch you at the wrong time.
I'm usually good about getting on with you
guys. But I don't know how you do it, because I see this, and like it was like it was organized chaos a little while ago. It was amazing. So, you know, congratulations on that. And I noticed with all your coaches, James, and you as well, everybody's in here smiling. The coaches have got that fire in the belly. I mean, Dave has been here. I don't know if he's the same age as me, but he's been around a while. And he's still got that fire in the belly and the smile working with these kids.
Absolutely. And he coaches three seasons. You know what I mean?
Sometimes, I know. Yeah, yeah.
You know, sometimes you get coaches that give it all for one season and they're cooked and that's all they can do.
Oh, yeah.
Who would blame them? But,
you know, the other Dave thing is... I'm sorry, finish your thought.
I was just going to say, Dave does it three seasons, and he's basically, you know, he's retired now. He's basically a full-time high school coach. He's got the best job in America.
Yeah. I also saw, you're very proficient prolific, I should say, in social media, and I did see your congratulations to Winthrop on their winter season, I mean, their fall season, Winthrop High School and their football team and so on, the adversity they had and how they overcame it, and, you know, one of the smallest schools around, and they do such a great job. The kids are awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I root for them. As long as we're not playing,
mm-hmm.
but you know, Sean Driscoll, the head coach, and John Cadigan, their defensive coordinator, you know, they were guys that were at my wedding and are good friends of mine. And my nephew's a junior on the team, and so I was really happy for them.
Yeah,
you know,
they're gonna be a force.
That means a lot to them. I mean, you know, that Thanksgiving Day game.
Oh yeah,
against Revere.
Well, we had Coach Driscoll on frequently, and I'm just amazed at how his heart goes out to the kids and works on them. It's just cool, you know.
Yeah.
So, but it's that way everywhere.
Yeah.
It's super. Bill?
No, I'm good. So, James, thanks for joining us.
Yeah,
and thanks
for
all your help
in
making
this
all happen, because it wouldn't have happened without you. So we appreciate that.
No problem.
All right, we're good.
All right, wrap it up.
All right, so that's it. There's Rick Moore. There's James Coffey, Beverly Athletic Director. I'm Bill Newell, and we're from Beverly High School tonight, our winter sports preview with the Panthers here on MSONewsSports.com.